Johnny, question for you.
Yeah.
If I was somewhere in Kokomo and it wasn't our house and it wasn't the flower shop, where would I be?
Easy. Humble Home.
Yes, you're right. You guys, listen up. Humble Home is my absolute favorite place to be for so many reasons. No matter what I'm looking for, I always check Humble Home first. Clothes, shoes, toys, decor, furniture, makeup, they literally always have something that I need. They have brand name items for cheap. Their inventory is constantly changing, so it's part of my weekly routine to do a Humble Home walkthrough. You absolutely need to stop by. I promise you won't be disappointed. While it is a discount store, it's not your average discount store. It's clean, organized, and everything has its place. I get zero anxiety when I go in, unlike other discount stores. And no matter what you're shopping for, a home project, gifts, home decor, even seasonal decor, they will have it. They are open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 8 p.m., and Sunday from noon to 5. You can follow them on Facebook at Humble Home Kokomo and watch for new items every single day. And for our Lafayette, Indiana listeners, I have exciting news. They are opening a second location in Lafayette soon. As soon as I have the details, I will let you know their opening date. Get excited.
Hi, I'm Kayla Keith, and this is Missing Midwest, a true crime podcast about those that have gone missing. Today's story is about a field trip to the mountains that ends in a mystery that has yet to be solved.
Hey, hey.
Hey, what's going on?
Oh, not much.
I believe this is our first Missing Midwest episode where we can tell y'all that we hit our goal.
Ooh, we did.
20,000 downloads in the first year.
That is something that...
I'm pretty proud of it.
I mean, we said when we started, we're like, I have no idea how this is going to go. But if we hit 20K in the first year, we'll keep going. If not... you know, we'll call it a wrap after a year. And so we really just have been going along with it. And we knew we were going to be close, but I did not know we were going to be that close.
It was literally like 4 hours before we hit the year mark that we got it.
Yeah, well, it was 10:30 at night. I looked.
Oh, so it was an hour and a half before.
No.
Okay. Yeah.
8 a.m. on July 1st and like 10:30 at night the night before. Right. I was like, we did it.
Yeah, that's wild. Pretty excited about it. We did a lot of research that kind of helped us come up with that goal. But one thing that I'm proud to say is Missing Midwest, your podcast here.
Us, me, you.
Me and Kayla here. We rank in the top 25% of podcasts.
That's cool.
You know, that's super cool, I think.
That means I'm cool. We're cool. I'm labeling myself as cool because of that. I am. That's awesome.
What I think is the coolest is that, you know, we've done it with just you and I, a mom and dad, a florist and a teacher. Cody's a college student, you know, helping us out across America has been amazing to us.
It's because of you all.
Yeah, we had this vision, and Kayla had this thing that she'd been talking about doing for years, and then we started the dang thing, and you guys liked it, and you guys shared it, and you guys told your friends, and like, here we are. That's pretty cool.
I love it.
I guess the next goal will be the top 10%, right? Like, let's keep plugging away. I don't know how long it takes to get to that point.
Let's quit our jobs and just full-time podcast.
I'm pretty excited to teach Eastern.
I actually don't want that at all. I don't ever want to quit my job. I love my job.
So.
But just keep it going. We love doing it.
Yeah.
So as long as y'all are listening, we'll be here.
Yes. Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Yeah. So anything else?
I don't really have any other announcements.
I mean, we usually have some weird, crazy story that happened to us. I don't have anything lately.
Yeah, I think we've been pretty normal. It's been nice.
That is
just
nice.
Just busy. We've been crazy busy. This week was...
it's summer, you get to hang out and relax. And then it's like, nope, never mind. You have football camp, basketball camp, baseball camp, church camp, 4th of July camping, like just all of the things.
Yeah. It's been fun, though.
It is fun. Okay, so I have a case.
That's right.
You ready for my case?
I'm ready.
Are you guys ready for my case? I'm sure you are. Okay, so I recently came across an article, and it was talking about these, like, really strange murders and disappearances and all these, like, crazy theories that go with them in the Great Smoky Mountains.
Not in the Midwest.
Which I am aware is not in the Midwest, but it's kind of close, and I've been there, and this is my podcast, and I told you all we might be going outside the Midwest because... I want to, and it's my podcast.
Appalachia, so
Tennessee. Where we're going.
I mean,
because
who hasn't been to Tennessee?
Who's going to tell me no?
Right.
Who's going to tell me I can't do something outside the Midwest? Nobody.
I know that.
And if you
Lily
did tell
and
me
her
no?
mom listened to the podcast and for my class, Lily,
yeah.
And they love Tennessee and they go there all the time.
See?
So here you go. There you go. It's for you guys.
You can tell me no, and I'm going to be like, cool story. We're still going outside of the Midwest, and we're going to have...
It's not like you ever listen anyway.
So. I was going to say. So, yeah. So, literally, these theories, though, when I say crazy, like, we're getting real crazy, okay? They range from...
like, Bigfoot?
Bigfoot was in there.
I'm sure he was.
I'm sure he is responsible because he's out there.
Good grief.
Serial killers... to crazy mountain people, cannibals that live
in the
mountains that are like picking people off on the Appalachian Trail and just like all these things. So we're going to go to the Smokies.
All right.
Not just today, for like a couple of episodes. It's going to be a mini series. I'm doing a mini series in the mountains. Mini mountains.
Is this because you want to go to Tennessee so bad?
It's a hint to you to take me.
Hey, listen, go Vols, Rocky Top. I'm in.
The mini mountain missing series. I don't know. Come up with that, whatever you want to call it.
Sure, somebody's going to come up with a better name, but okay.
A lot of M's to work with there. Anyway, so the Great Smoky Mountains. So I have some, to start off, I have some statistics for you that I found on the National Park Service website, because I want you to understand how incredibly massive this place is, okay?
You can see it on the map. That's big enough for me. Go ahead, continue.
Okay. You can see Greentown on a map too, Donnie.
I mean, like, when you have a globe, the Appalachians are, like, raised on the globe, like, hello. Like, it is. Okay. I have a globe in my new classroom, and I like it very much. Go ahead.
Okay. Anyway, Great Smoky Mountains National Park, 522,427 acres. Like, that's huge.
Yeah.
It's divided almost evenly between North Carolina and Tennessee.
Did not know that.
More than 14 million people visited in 2021.
That's a lot. Bunch of them came from the Midwest.
A lot of them did. And a lot of them are going to go. And you all need to be aware at what's going on in the Smokies because it's getting scary. It
looks like a beautiful place to hike in the fall.
I would strongly recommend against it after listening to my mini mountain missing series, okay? And so it actually had the highest visitation of any of the national parks combined. Yellowstone, whoa, Yosemite, Grand Canyon combined, more people went to the Smokies.
I feel like more people would go to Yellowstone. But you're saying the Appalachians.
Combined with that's Yosemite wild. And Grand, yes.
Wow, okay.
848 miles of backcountry trails.
That's a lot.
74 miles are the Appalachian Trail. Elevation ranges from 875 feet to 6,643 feet at Clingman's Dome is the highest point in Tennessee.
Do you have Dollar General up there?
I don't think there's a Dollar General at Clingman's Dome. I mean, there probably should be. Lots of visitors there. 16 mountain peaks exceed 6,000 feet in the Great Smoky Mountains. I thought that was... I'd give you an idea. I mean, it's pretty big. That's like, huge. We're working with a seriously large area here.
For sure.
It's a lot bigger than Greentown. Let's just say that.
True.
And it is full of twisting roads and trails and dense forest. It is, I mean, it's thick. It's confusing. People get lost and turned around there all the time. And so that's where our story is going to begin today. Okay?
Let's go.
And actually, I'm going to begin at Bairdin High School in Knoxville, Tennessee.
Knoxville.
Have we been there?
Knoxville is where my guys play.
Who?
The Tennessee Volunteers.
Oh, that's the city?
Yes.
So we have been there.
We have been there.
I held a squirrel there.
You did hold a squirrel there.
It was wearing a little Tennessee jersey.
We went to a Tennessee Volunteers football game, which if any of you guys have ever been there, that it's the coolest stadium on planet Earth. Epic experience to watch Hendon Hooker in his final game at Neyland Stadium. No 100,000 people. It was amazing. And her takeaway was she got to hold a squirrel.
That was wearing a tiny little jersey.
Okay.
It was awesome. Anyway. So population, since we're, you know, I got to stick with my usual, okay, Tennessee, Knoxville, Tennessee population, 195,000 people. It's about a 6-hour drive from where we're at now. $28 generals, completely irrelevant to the story, completely irrelevant to the time, but I had to put it in there for y'all. We're going to be talking about Teresa Lynn Gibson. From here on out, we're going to refer to her as Trini. Everyone called her Trini, which okay. I think is so stinking cute.
That's fun.
She was 16 years old in 1979, okay?
Okay.
It was October 8th, and her science teacher told the class that they were going on a field trip on Friday. They said he told them to dress appropriately, to be outside, and to pack a lunch, but he did not tell them where they were going. He wanted it to be a surprise.
Okay.
So on that day, Trini packed her lunch, and her mom dropped her off at school. And a class of 45 students and one teacher. Apparently things were different
back
then.
That's not a good ratio.
That is a horrific ratio for a field trip with a bunch of 16-year-olds. It gave me
a stroke just thinking about
it. It gave me anxiety thinking about it. I can't. He didn't tell them where they were going. The parents had no idea.
Yeah, that's not going to fly now either.
No. Which, I mean, 79, things are different. But still, like, what? So they left on a bus, and they drove 45 minutes to Clingman's Dome, which is an observation tower inside the Great Smoky Mountain National Park. I mentioned Clingman's Dome earlier because it is the highest point in the park. It's the highest point in Tennessee, all the whole state. It has this super cool observation tower that's like a dome. And when you walk up in it, it's like a 360 view all around you. And you can see just like for miles. So Wayne Dunlap was the name of this science teacher and the only chaperone, poor guy, of this trip. And so he was excited. It was a surprise day. It was a horticulture class. And so he thought the class would have fun to go hiking a little bit and like identify plants for the class. And so when they arrived, he divided the group into like more like smaller little clusters of kids. And he gave them some info on the park and some plants that they might find. And he sent them on their way with instructions that they had to meet back in the parking lot at exactly 3:30 to get on the bus so they could get back in time for the end of the day of school. So when they got there, there's like a half a mile trail. It's paved that goes from the parking lot to the observation tower. There was this paved half a mile trail, and it led from the parking lot where the bus was up to that observation that I told you about. And so they were allowed to walk on that trail, but then there were some other trails that left from that parking lot as well. These trails went out, and some of them intercepted with the Appalachian Trail, and some of them were just like random other trails. They were told that they could go on that trail as well. This one, it was part of the Appalachian Trail, and it led to a place that was just over the North Carolina border, and it was called Andrews Bald, and it was just over 2 miles long. So they were allowed to take that half mile trail up to the observation tower, or this other trail in the opposite direction to this point. I don't know what was at Andrews Bald, if there was like an observation area or whatever, but that's where they were allowed to go. And when they got there, turn around and come back.
So that was like 2 miles?
Just over 2 miles, yeah. Which if a teacher told me that he wasn't going to tell, like, just dress weather appropriately, and then we showed up and had to hike 2 miles, I would be so upset. Trini and her group decided to take that trail, which most of the kids did. Some of them went, I'm assuming some of them went, you know, up to the dome first and then back on the trail or whatever, but they all kind of divided up. I read that this trail was pretty easy. They said there was a couple spots that were kind of hairy. It like would get narrow, and there was some steep drop-offs, like, you know, take the wrong step, like you fall down a pretty steep embankment. But they said for like a group of high school kids, it should have been pretty straightforward, manageable. Easy. So, sorry if you guys are hearing like some background noise. It's like pouring rain right now, and there's absolutely nothing I can do about the weather, so sorry. Anyway, so Trini and her group decided that this was the trail that they were going to take. So it was Trini, some other kids, and there was also a boy in this group. This boy was named Robert Smith, okay? Robert Smith. I said Smith. I have no idea. Simpson. It was Robert Simpson. He was older, and he was best friends with Trini's older brother, who was 18 and already graduated.
Okay.
His name was also Robert. Robert Gibson.
Okay.
So it's a little confusing. We have
two Roberts.
We have Robert the brother, who is no longer in school, and we have Robert Simpson, who is a friend of
Trini's,
and he was best friends with Robert, therefore he was also friends with Trini.
Makes sense.
It's not clear if there was a thing going on between Trini and Robert. They sat together on the bus, and they were together a lot. They were good friends. Everyone said Trini did not have a boyfriend and they were not dating, but there was like rumors that Robert might have had a little crush on her. Little crush. But good friends.
See.
Robert Gibson had actually, like, a couple of days before asked his friend Robert to, like, watch out for Trini in school and on this field trip and stuff. Okay. With his little sister.
Sure.
And so
he's like, bro, I'll watch her.
He's like, yeah, I'm watching. Don't worry. Anyway, so 3:30 comes around and Mr. Dunlap's loading the bus, and he's one student short. Trini is not back.
Not good.
So he waits, but Trini never comes back. And she was never seen again.
Whoa. Wait a minute.
Stanley Cleaning Company has an exciting new service they are offering, and I can't wait to tell you about it. Laundry. Yes, they will come to your house, and for $15 a load, they will pick it up, take it, wash it, dry it, fold it and bring it back to you. This is something I have dreamed about since I became an adult and started doing laundry on my own. Hit them up and get your place cleaned and your laundry done by my friends over at Stanley Cleaning Company. You can find them on Facebook or give her a call or a text at 765-860-3606. So, Trinity is missing and Mr. Dunlap is probably like, well, shit. So he's asking, he's got all these kids on the bus and he's asking kids like, what's up? Where's Trini? You came back without one person. What gives? So Robert and some of the other kids were like, yeah, well, you know, she was in our group and we hiked up to Andrew's Bald and we were all taking kind of like a rest break. And Trini said that she wanted to head back, but we weren't ready. And so Trini started on the trail alone. And she was going to catch up with the other, because there was like multiple groups of kids on this trail.
Because there was, 45 kids? Yeah.
Yeah. And so
I feel like it would be a streamline of kids constantly on those trails.
I mean, pretty close. Like they might not have been able to like see the next group, but they knew they definitely like passed and interacted with each other. And so they were like, she was just going to catch up to the next group of kids, which she did. The next group of kids said, you know, that Trini did catch up with them and started hiking with them. And when they got about 3/4 of a mile from the parking lot, they all stopped to take a break. It was about 2:50. So they still had about 40 minutes before they had to get back to the bus and only 3/4 of a mile to go. So they took a break and they were resting. And they said Trini started to walk ahead of them. And they said she got a ways in front of them. And they said they saw, it was probably like, they said maybe 100 yards, 200 yards-ish, not super far. They could still see her. And they said that they saw her stop walking and she like looked like she saw something on the side of the trail. And they said that she took a few steps to the side of the trail and crouched down like she was looking at something. So they thought
like
maybe
you saw a kitten or something.
Exactly. Like, okay. I'm following this kitten through the woods. So something caught her attention and they saw her look, more than one student saw her crouching down, looking to the side of the trail. Then they saw her like step off the trail out of view. They did not think anything about this. They were supposed to be identifying plants and looking at plants, whatever. When they started walking again and they got to that spot in the trail, they said she wasn't there and they didn't see her. And so they assumed that she had just kept on walking ahead. So after hearing all of this from these different students, Mr. Dunlap is like freaking awesome. She's probably lost. And so he told a male student to run the 2 miles back to Andrew's Bald, which I'm like, wow.
I'd say, was this a cross-country star?
Yeah, I don't want this job. But then he said to run back and look for her. And so then he himself walked about a half a mile back into the trail to look for him himself. But when another 30 minutes passed, he decided to report her missing to a park ranger. The ranger called the sheriff department, and the sheriff called her parents. Her parents were Robert and Hope Gibson, and they were there within an hour, along with Robert Jr., the brother. And they were, I think it said that they lived like, it was a 23-minute drive from their house to Klingman's Dome.
Okay.
So they were on it. Like, they jumped in the
waste
car.
Wasted no time.
No.
Yeah.
And so they get there, and so they're looking, okay? So the bus took all the other kids back to school, obviously. But the park rangers, the sheriff department, and the family, they all start looking for Trini. They assumed that she's lost at this point.
I mean,
they think,
what else could you be thinking?
Exactly. She's lost. She stepped off this trail. She might have fallen down one of these steep cliffs that we talked about.
I didn't think about that.
The main thing is there was this one area in particular, was a very steep drop off, and it was actually called Deep Creek. And it was like very, very thick brush at the bottom of it. They said it was so thick that it would absolutely be impossible to see her. Like, had she fallen down and gotten hurt and landed at the bottom, you wouldn't be able to see her from the top.
Interesting.
They also, this is pretty creepy, but they also said that it was so thick that if she was calling for help, you probably wouldn't be able to hear her because it would be that muffled and it was that far down.
Wow.
Terrifying. Very scary.
So, like, did they freaking go down there?
Yeah. So, okay. They immediately, like, call in all these people. They searched for her all night, found absolutely no signs of her. They were looking for anything, even broken sticks to indicate a fall, brush that had been pushed down, anything unusual. They said they've done absolutely nothing. The next day, they brought in 6 bloodhounds, okay? 3 of the 6 bloodhounds immediately picked up her scent on the trail in the exact spot where those students said they saw her crouching down.
Wild dogs, always awesome. Yeah.
They tracked her scent from that spot on the trail, like back down the trail, and then right up the paved trail to the base of Klingman's Dome.
Wait a minute.
So they're like, okay, she kept walking and she went up to Klingman's Dome. They were allowed to do that. However, at the base of Klingman's Dome, the dogs then tracked her in the opposite direction, off the trail, through some brush to like this road. There was like an old access road there. The scent ended immediately when it hit the road.
Man, I trust dogs a lot.
Not a good sign.
No.
This told the police that she either willingly or unwillingly, one of the two, got into a vehicle on that road. And so since she had not even known that she was going to there that day, they're like...
She couldn't have planned something.
She didn't plan this.
She could have been like, hey, meet me at Cleveland's
Dome. Exactly. So they're like, immediately like, this doesn't feel like a runaway situation anymore because she didn't even know she was going to Cleveland's Dome that day. They also have no cell phones at this time. I think I said 1979. It was actually 1976. I think earlier I said 79. If I did, I'm sorry. It was 1976. Anyway, regardless, she couldn't have been like, hey, we ended up on this field trip. Come pick me. Like, she had no way.
Yeah. And also, oh my God. Oh, so 45 students and a teacher. Plus, you have the people that, like, probably facilitate this.
What do you mean?
I mean, there's a bus driver. There's, like, people. I'm sure that Klingman's Dome has, like, people there.
Well, I mean, no.
Don't think so?
No, I doubt it. Okay. It's a huge place, and there's just tons of observation in there. I mean, we haven't even been to places like that. Okay. You just go and, like...
And I didn't know if it was big enough to where there would have been
people. Do you remember in Brown County when we went on that trail and we just found that random observation lookout thing?
Yeah, like, there's it was
no,
awesome.
It's no, not manned by anybody.
Okay. I see. I'm with you. Okay. I'm with you.
So, police are like, this is weird. This isn't
good. Yeah, that is weird.
But then they also found several beer cans, all of the same brand, around the base of Klingman's Dome and along the trail that the students had hiked that day. The beer smelled fresh, they said, not stale. And they also found at the base of Klingman's Dome a pile of cigarettes that indicated that somebody had been there for an extended period of time and was like smoking a cigarette and then putting it out in this pile.
And these are high school students.
Yes, which was very common to smoke back then.
I guess you shouldn't have to be 18 back then.
No, probably. They had a smoking area in the school for the students. Weird. Outside. They asked the students if any, it was none of the students' cigarettes, and they also found those cigarettes on the trail that the students hiked that day, indicating that somebody had been, like, possibly waiting at Klingman's Dome for something, but, like, was there for a little bit.
Sketchy.
And so, at this point, they call in the FBI, because they're like,
missing teen.
This is an abduction.
Yeah.
So then they start interviewing all of these kids because there's a lot of them.
45.
And a lot of them saw things. And so they repeated the same story that they told the teacher to the police and the FBI. But there was one student who caught their attention, Robert Simpson.
Okay.
Robert was an experienced hunter and a hiker, but he was also a little bit overweight. He was a bit awkward. He was like this like redneck country boy who always wore overalls. He came from a really rich family, though, in the area. His dad was actually a really, like, prominent attorney, and he actually became the district attorney a few years later after Trinity disappeared.
Whoa.
But after talking to all 45 students, it became clear that after Trinity had left Andrews Bald to catch up to that next group of students, Robert also disappeared from that group.
Wait a minute.
And nobody remembered seeing him. Oof. Until they got back to the bus. Some of the students recalled that when he got back to the bus, he was very out of breath, but he was bigger and he just had to hike 2 miles back. So, like, not totally weird, but also, like, nobody saw him.
The fact that they said that and remembered that makes you wonder. Yeah.
Yeah. When the police asked Robert about this, he was like, oh, yeah, well, I saw some bear tracks, and so I left the trail to track a bear.
No, you freaking did not.
Excuse me? You did what now? In the middle of your high school field trip?
With your pencil and bookmark? Like, what are you talking about?
You decided to track a bear with no weapon? Like, is this normal?
No.
For you, like, you mountain people that live here, is this normal behavior? Like, are you just casually tracking bears for
Davy
fun?
Crockett wouldn't even do this.
That's what I'm thinking. Like, that's it. And it sounded
I am now heavily on Robert Simpson.
The police, too, were like, you did what? And so...
Sir, we have what's called a BS meter. And it is
going off.
Going off. Like, big time. I just... No, so, I don't buy that for a split second.
Yeah. And so this is the story that Robert stuck with. It's still to this day, Robert is sticking with the tracking the bear story, actually.
Wow.
As
his district attorney father told him.
Was going to say, I'm sure that came from his dad. So rumors start flying, obviously. Especially when the day after Trini's disappearance, Robert, the brother, was in Robert, the friend's car with him. Not unusual, they're best friends, when he sees something on the floor. And it is his sister's comb.
Wait a minute.
Now, this comb was significant because Hope Gibson, Trini's mom, had bought these matching combs for Trini and her sister. And Trini always had it with her. Like, always carried this comb with her. And it was... like recognizable. It wasn't just like a plate, like a fake Dollar General comb. It was like a special comb. So he knew it was his sister's. And so he was like, what the hell? Like,
yeah, bro, why do you
is my sister's
this?
Comb in your car right now?
Yeah. Even if she wasn't missing, why is my sister's comb
also
in your
why
car
is
right now?
My sister's comb in your car? Yeah. Exactly. And he was like, oh, she asked me on the bus yesterday to hold it for her because she didn't want to lose it while we were hiking.
No.
Yeah.
Dumber than tracking a bear.
Think so?
A girl, can you hold my comb for me?
Yeah.
No, never happened.
So,
I would like to know if any of you women listening to this have ever once asked a dude to hold your comb. Never.
Major side eye to Robert Simpson.
Yeah. So the suspect search, number one.
So, yeah. So, the search for Trini continued, but with the fog and the Smokies that they're known for, hence the name, Smoky Mountains, and the dropping temperatures at the end of October, it made it a hard search. They used tons of police, tons of volunteers, dogs, horseback. They said they even had four helicopters come in, and their job was strictly to fly really low to like below the vegetation so the searchers could get better visuals of like things underneath the vegetation.
That's a good idea.
That was a really good idea, I thought. Found nothing. They searched thoroughly a 10-mile radius from where she went missing and never found a single clue as to where she possibly could have went that day.
I mean, I'm still like, she obviously went the dogs. Like, the dogs say she went back and then went the other way.
Yeah. So, I mean, they knew exactly what she was wearing when she went missing. She had on Adidas shoes, blue jeans, a blue blouse. And then they actually had a little encouragement from this, too. Robert didn't have his jacket on because he had given it to her on the bus, which other people confirmed. He did give her this jacket, and she was wearing it while she was hiking. It was like a really thick orange and brown flannel thing.
That's
and so they were like, well, at least she has that. If she did get lost, like, hopefully she's able to stay somehow warm.
Yeah.
So 5 days after she went missing, the lead park ranger on the case went public, and he kind of came out of left field with this theory here because it wasn't what the theory was at the beginning. And he basically said she was a runaway. He said that they believe she had met up with a friend on that road that drove her away. Which to me and to everyone else is completely dumb because she didn't even know where she was going to be that
day. Exactly.
And so nobody really liked that one. And he also suggested that possibly...
Sounds like a future DA might have put that in his head.
He also suggested that maybe she had gotten hurt and had flagged a car down for help. But it had been 5 days and no hospital. Like, she hadn't called her family and been like, hey, I got hurt. Like, that makes absolutely no sense either. And so after this, all the leads stopped. No evidence was found. Her dad had told the press that he did not believe she ran away. He said she had no reason to leave her life, and she had left her ID, her makeup, $200 of cash.
Her favorite comb.
And another $1K in the bank. She had $200 cash in her bedroom and another $1K in her personal bank account. So he's like, she did not leave. Her older brother, Robert, he reported to the press that he felt the same way. He said they were very close. And he had actually just gotten back from basic training in, like, I think it was Florida on Wednesday. And the field trip was on Friday. And so they were, like, looking forward to hanging out and catching up together. And he said she just never would have left. And so the parents, like, they told the police that she was abducted that day from the woods. Like, that's what they believed. And they had a reason to believe this.
Are you looking to buy or sell in 2024? Let Amber White help you find your home sweet home. Amber is a local realtor to the Kokomo and Howard County area, and when I say she knows her stuff, she knows her stuff. When we decided to move closer to family, I literally messaged Amber and told her I wanted to sell my house, and then later I want to buy this house, and she made it all happen. Buying and selling is such an overwhelming process, but Amber seriously took care of every single step and eliminated all the stress for us. Her knowledge was invaluable, and while I say I never want to move again, I know exactly who to call if we decide to. Follow her on Facebook at Amber White Realtor /broker with Carrie Gruel and Associates, or you can give her a call at 765-865-1118.
So the year before, in October, literally an exact year before, in October of 1975, there was a man named Kelvin Bowman that actually attacked the family.
Wait a minute. Like her? Like.
Well, so he was a student at the same high school. And he was...
What did you say his name was?
Kelvin Bowman.
Okay.
He, like I said, he was a student at the same high school. He was known around the town for doing some, like, stupid crimes and stuff, like breaking and entering. And he actually had broken into the home in the middle of the night. And Hope, the mom, shot him in the foot.
Let's go.
Which, like...
No more kids'
Mama
games.
Mama bear.
Yeah.
Like, don't be coming into my house. Now, if you came into my house, I'd probably shoot you in more than the foot. But she was like, no. Get out of here. Respect to Mama.
You're 16.
I'm Mama Gibson foot. Here was like, I mean, she probably didn't know who he was or that you're right. 16. But, and so he was obviously okay from this wound, but he was convicted on home invasion, and he got sentenced to 2 years in juvie for it. And he was pissed. And in the courtroom, he told the family that he was going to get them back and that he, when he got out, he was going to come and kill their daughter.
I don't like that at all.
Training, specifically. Yeah. Like, he said those words. He went on to serve, you want to guess?
2 months.
Six.
6 months.
6 months. And he was a current student, enrolled as a student at Bearden High School the day that she went missing.
Was he there?
However... The police said that, according to the principal and the teachers, he was accounted for as being in school the whole day of the field trip.
Okay. I feel like that's hard to dispute.
Yeah.
That's a fair alibi.
It's fair.
Especially when you're a troublemaker. Teachers aren't, like, trying
also
to pull for you.
Don't threaten to kill somebody.
Yeah, for sure.
Because when they end up missing, people everyone's going to judge
assume
you.
Assume it was you. Yeah.
Even though you have an alibi. We're yeah. still judging.
Bad move. For sure.
So on November 1st of 1976, officials finally called off the search. They had covered miles and miles of terrain, trails, roads. They used hundreds of hours of manpower, and they could not prove without a body if she was even dead or not. And they said that they would search the following summer after...
That sucks.
Yeah.
After Oof, the winter, that sucks. Yeah.
And then in the following summer... 1977, during the springtime, like when hikers start getting active again and everything, the National Park Service came out and they told the hikers to be on the lookout for anything related to her, like keep your eyes open for anything suspicious. These are the clothes that she was wearing, the shoes she was wearing. But they officially had stopped any efforts to find her, like through any like organized searching. The reason being, they said there was no way she would have survived a winter out there.
Sure. I mean, how could, I mean,
so yeah. It was no longer like a rescue, it was a recovery, right. And so they weren't going to put any more time and effort into it.
That sucks. That's so terrible, but I get it.
I know. And so nothing was reported on the case until 1982. Her dad came forward and went public and said that he believes that she was lured and kidnapped from the woods that day, and then he didn't believe she was alive, he believed she was killed. And this is what most people from the area believe. A lot of people say that Robert knows more than he is saying.
I agree.
He still lives in the area, Eastern Tennessee, to this day. Another theory that was out there. Now, these, I'm getting into theories here. This is where the Reddit, the Facebook, the internet sleuths come in. The police have never said anything about this. Okay. The teacher, she resigned from the school right after Trini disappeared.
I mean, I feel like in that situation,
Oregon.
I feel like in that situation, though, as a teacher, it's like you're getting fired. We'll let you resign. Seriously.
So apparently, though, he had an actual mental breakdown, just because
I cannot imagine losing a kid on the field.
Exactly. He was never considered more or less of a suspect than Robert, they said. But they said he had actually, like, the kids all liked him. He was a really good teacher, but they said that he just couldn't handle the thought that he lost a kid and that
that's tough, man. I mean, I spend my whole, when I go on field trips, I spend the whole freaking day going,
so it's
one, two, three, four, five, one, two, three, four, five, one, two. I mean, that's all I do.
You do that with our kids all the time. Yeah. One, two, three, one, two, three.
Yeah, I just, yeah.
Yeah. So there's
45, one, two, three, four, five,
oh my
six,
God. I can't and, even and, and they got turned loose in the freaking,
yeah, that's tough.
Terrifying. Yeah. There's literally no way I would go unless I had 45 chaperones for 45 students.
That's, yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot of kids.
So there's another theory that has some good tea to
it. I'm totally out on the teacher theory, by the way.
Yeah, me too. Okay, so there's an investigative journalist. Her name is Laura Rist, and she has, like, went all in on this case. Okay. She has a whole blog, and she has done interviews, and she's looking into it, and she's like, I'm going to freaking find out what happened to Trinity that day. And she believes that a group of kids know what happened and that there was maybe, like, a prank gone wrong or, like, a small fight or something that led to Trini's death, and they vowed to take it to the grave that day, like, and cover it up. She's, like I said, she's looked into this case lots, and after, she's actually had death threats to stop digging into this case.
Wait a minute.
Yeah. And she's interviewed a lot of people, and a lot of people that were in that class, the class of 1978 at Barron High School, and they said that there's a lot of people that know more than they're saying on that case, and that there's a lot of small town rumors that people know what happened to Trinity that day. And the reason they believe this is because a sophomore girl that went to school there, she showed up a few days after the disappearance wearing some of Trini's jewelry.
What?
Yeah. So Trini's sister, Tina, actually has worked with Laura on this case and investigating and stuff. And there was a ring and a necklace that somehow ended up in this girl's possession. And the family was like, hey, how did you get that? And she, like, wouldn't tell them. And then they asked if they could have it back, and she wouldn't. She said no. Like, she wouldn't. She just wouldn't talk to them. It's not really clear if investigators ever followed up on it, but, like, Tina, the sister, was like, no, like, this was my sister's jewelry, and this girl just, like, this bee just showed up to school wearing my sister's jewelry, like, days after she disappeared, and wouldn't tell anyone how or why she got it.
That's sketch.
Yeah.
I don't like that at all.
Yeah.
No, no.
So, yeah.
I will say this. It's not as sketch as saying I just freaking tried to track a bear with my bare hands.
I agree. So, I'm honestly not super sure where I stand on the case. Like I said, there's theories, and there's literally people that believe, like, and, like, it's, like, the same people. I mean, they'll go to their grave. There's people that live in the Appalachian Mountains, in the Great Smoky Mountains, on the Appalachian Trail out there that are, like, these cannibal, like, a group of, like, these mountain people cannibals, which we've all seen the mountain people, like, inbred the blue people. And so there's people that say, like, she was snatched by one of those. There's multiple theories on a serial killer that walks, just lives on the Appalachian Trail and walks it and picks off hikers.
But to do it in front, like, with 45 kids walking around?
Exactly. And so, I mean, I don't know. I don't know where I'm at here. I want to think, or I tend to think that it was probably an accident. I tend to think that she saw something and stepped off the trail and fell in the wrong spot, and they just never saw her, which is hard to believe. But, like, what did she see that day? Why did she? Was it Robert? Was it Robert tracking the bear that she saw? Did he call her off the trail that day?
That's where my mind's going.
I don't know. But that's the case. That's the case of Trini Lynn Roberts.
So I want to go back to the dogs right quick.
Okay.
Did the dogs come
Trini
in?
Trini Lynn Roberts. It's Trini Lynn Gibson. Sorry.
Did the dogs come the same day or the next day?
The next morning.
Man, I have a theory. What? It is an accusatory theory. So we're just going to throw someone out there. But, like, what if she was lured off the track?
The trail.
And raped, beaten, killed, something that knocked her unconscious. And then somebody came back later that night and got her. And then took her. Drug her up the trail to the other side and picked her up and took off.
I mean, that's 100% possible.
I mean, that's what makes the most sense to me.
The only thing is...
And what doesn't make sense to me is tracking a bear.
Yeah, that's so dumb. And if you were tracking a bear, then, like, you're stupid. But
you would also probably tell somebody. You probably aren't just running in the woods by yourself.
They said he was experienced at tracking bears and game and animals and whatever. But still, the only thing with your little theory here is that literally, like, the park rangers were there and her parents were there within the hour.
Yeah.
And they searched all night. So yeah. I don't know how anybody could get back to that location. But again, in the night, in the cover of darkness, in the cover of the woods, you might, depending on how well you hid somebody. I mean, it's definitely not, it's not beyond, you know.
Man, the jewelry, the comb.
So I lean toward accident. I lean toward Mr. Bear Hunter. And I also lean toward a group of people, like, knowing something, because you know how I love rumors. They don't start between, you know what I mean? Like, they don't start out of nothing. Like, those kids, why are people telling her to stop looking? Why are people threatening her to stop looking?
I mean, that DA seat has a lot of power.
The what?
That DA seat. He said his dad was a future DA.
DAC?
District attorney?
Oh, you said DAC. It's
a DA seat.
Oh, DA seat. Seat.
Like.
Yes, the DA. And it was a prominent family. They said it was from a very affluent family.
Like the Murdahls? I mean, I'm just saying, you got to come up with something better than I was tracking a bear. I hate that so much.
Yeah, why are you?
That's the most, as the kids say, sus. like that is as sus as you could possibly be in that circumstance.
Yeah.
Like, even if it's true, the most sus thing you could have said there, you should have lied.
You should have been like,
if you were tracking a bear, you should have came up with something different.
Had to poop.
Yeah, that would have.
Literally, I
would have been like, okay, nature calls. I tracked a bear.
Does a bear shit in the woods? No, but I had to, and I was over here behind this tree, y'all, and it took 45 minutes, and then I had to run back to the bus, and I'm out of breath. That is more believable
than I tracked.
Than I tracked a bear.
Yeah.
With no weapon in the middle of my high school field trip? No.
Yeah, I don't like that at all.
Yeah.
Man, somebody knows something. I mean, you said 76? Like, that was almost 50 years ago. So, like, those teenagers would be, like, in their 70s now.
Yeah.
Like, let's close this one.
Yeah, just, you know, tell us.
Like, I'm sure her siblings or somebody in her family is still alive. Yeah. Like,
I mean, you're getting up there.
You avoided prison this long.
You're just, you know? There's probably, the statute of limitations probably up to. Just tell us.
Yeah. Yeah. Goodness, it's so sad.
Someone knows for sure.
I just can't imagine on field trip. Oof.
Yeah. So that's the story of Teresa Lynn Gibson. And we will be back next week. I have another story that happened in pretty close to the same area. So we'll be back to talk about that next week.
And apparently we're going to Tennessee sometime soon because she's just dropping these Tennessee hints. And...
No, I think we should avoid it.
Oh, okay. You wanted to go to Tennessee and you talked yourself out of it?
And now I've talked myself out of it. Okay. We should stay far away from this area.
Gee whiz. All right. Stay in the Midwest, people. We'll see you next time.
This podcast is a So Will I Studios production. So Will I.
Whether you're a team of one or 1,000, Bow Digital can help make your marketing goals a reality.
Let's be honest, most of us who run our own businesses need help in the marketing category. Either you have no clue what an algorithm is, or you just don't have time to mess with it, Bow can help you with that. They offer an a la carte menu of marketing services where you can take what you need. It can be your website, your socials, newsletters, or even blogs. Bow can help you take some of it off your plate and free up time for you to focus more on the things that you love. I personally use Bow Digital in my own small business, and I love them and the team that they have and the knowledge that they possess is far beyond anything that I could do on my own. If you're looking to grow your business, you have to put a bow on it. You can reach out to them on their website, bowdigital.com, or on Facebook, bowedigital.com.